Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Getting emotional today. People sending in memories that, like, this is my dream.
Can I peel the curtain back a little bit?
Yeah.
You, Connor Happer, big water guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Had a coffee this
Woo!
Morning.
Yeah, I went to Jones Bros.
And it comes across.
It's like my first time doing cocaine. I was asking, she was there. I was asking her, like, hey, what's the Americano? What's that mean? She was like, it's horrible. And I was like, perfect. Let's go. I drank a cup of coffee, and now you've allowed me to talk about the Royals on the radio? Oh, what a day for me. And friendship? Back to the phones. Les Hills, Harley Davidson Hotline. It's Rick. Hi, Rick.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. This story is called R&R, Royals in Recruiting. Back in 1987, I was coaching a team of 10-year-olds with a couple other guys, and we were involved in a little league in Central Omaha, and then we also had a club team that we were going to join up at the end of the year. And the little league organization had been contacted by Don Watson, who was in his waning years as a Royal, and they, instead of putting him on the bench, they assigned him to coach or to manage Omaha when Gus Cherry owned him back in 1987. So I kind of heard about it at the meeting, and we had the next draft pick in the league. So I thought, well, he's not going to play for this little league team. We're going to put him on our club team. So I called down at the Royals, and back then we didn't have cell phones. So I got a hold of Mr. Watson and asked if I could come down and work Derek out, Derek Watson, who was 10 at the time. But he wasn't in town quite yet because he had to wait till school was over in Blue Springs. So he was going to live up here in the summer. I think they were living on an apartment out on 84th and Q. Mm. So I ended up going down and working Derek out. And he, you know, it only took 2 minutes. The kid was a stud. So I said, well, we'll get back to you. And then a couple weeks later, I got a couple of the coaches with me and a couple of the players. And we went down and we kind of busted in. We didn't really announce we were coming. And like I said, we didn't have cell phones back then and all that good stuff. And we walk in and John Watson is talking to Gus Cherry. And he asked me, how'd you get in here? And, you know, I'm sure the security guard was either smoking a cigarette or reading a dirty magazine, so we slipped by him. And, you know, the beer in that locker room, too, and they drank good beer. But anyway, Watson just came off, John Watson came off a two-week losing streak. And when I announced that we were there to, you know, secure the deal with Derek, he did not look very happy. And I found out what it was like to be the opponent of a UFC fighter. So fortunately, my poultry kicked in, and we got out of there, but he was not very happy. They came off like a 14-game losing streak. So if any of you young studs or studettes out there are thinking about recruiting, kind of check out how the coach did in the last week or two. It might save your life or might save your recruit. By the way, it is a true story. Thanks for the call.
Good lesson. Good lesson, Rick. Good storytelling, too.
Did he say my poultry kicked in, and that was his way of saying that he was chicken?
I believe so.
That is excellent wordsmithing, Rick.
Rick was unbelievable.
Rack him.
Yeah. Well done. Write a book, Rick. Call on the radio show more often.
Was that Rick Riley?
Yeah, it was Rick Riley.
Nobody will listen to me, so I'm calling into local sports talk shows.
Telling stories about John Watson in Omaha in the 80s.
Remember golf? Remember Sports Illustrated?
I love it. Any more stories, we would love to hear them. Jed tweets in. He says, did the caller before really say that the moose play happened right in front of him and then also say he was in the third row from the top so he didn't see it? So it was directly in front of him, hundreds of feet away?
Yeah, directly
right
in front of him,
just down.
I was just way up. I was above the goings-on, the proceedings.
That was the 2014 American League wildcard game. Was the one time I've sat in the 400 level at Kauffman Stadium. one time in my entire life, and it was that game.
Maybe you should sit there more often.
I'm scared of heights.
Oh, that's right.
I'm scared of heights, but I was like, this is my only way I can watch this game. I have to. I'm going to sit right here. And for whatever reason, it wasn't that bad that night. I don't know. It was just adrenaline or the people around. Usually when you go up there, it's like a lonely. I mean, you're looking straight down, and you're lonely. You're all by yourself. You're mm-hmm. like, if I roll down these stairs, I'm dead. Because you're the seats in the row in front of you are like 4 feet below you. It's scary.
It's straight up.
Yep. I don't sit in the 400 section. It's not because of a money thing. It's because I am terrified. Okay. There was one more. And by the way, the Board of Regents meeting going on right now, some things getting approved. We'll have that in a second. Texter, who was also at the 2014 American League wildcard game. I can't believe nobody stopped me from talking about this for 20 minutes. This is amazing.
I'm not going to stop baseball talk.
This is one of the complaints of you from the message boards, Josh. You
I
have
don't
to rein
you
in.
Yeah, I got
to
rein you in. I'm not going to.
Texter says, what I remember is Brandon Finnegan coming in and slamming the door. The next year we traded him for Cueto, who had one great pitching game, and that was in the World Series. Almost. They did trade him for, he was in the package for Johnny Cueto. But his one great game, the one Johnny Cueto game that made the entire Johnny Cueto trade worth it, was 2015 American League Division Series Game 5, the game after the Royals came back and won another insane baseball game. I believe they were also down 7-3 in the eighth.
Those were fun teams.
A whole bunch of singles happened again, and the Royals came back and miraculously took the lead on a play that Carlos Correa should have made up the middle, and it produced one of my favorite screenshots of all time, which is the pitcher, Tony Sipp, turned around after Correa made the error, was looking at like the center field camera and went like this. he was like scared at what had happened. He didn't want to look anymore. The Royals won that game, and then Cueto was absolutely unbelievable in Game 5 of the ALDS. And that was the one Johnny Cueto game.
Totally redeemed yourself.
But that was in 15, and they won the World Series in 15, but it's not as cool. That will always be my contention. Okay, we're officially done.
Hoosiers, Huskers, yeah. Let's go.
Game day. Let's get hype. Let's get lit.
I mean, come on. This is the pinnacle of excitement. Hoosiers, Huskers.
How about this before this? Speaking of One Beer Friday, alcohol sales are coming to Nebraska basketball games. The Board of Regents just now unanimously approved the addendum to Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Oh, wait. I don't have my pearls on to clutch them.
I don't think anybody's mad about this anymore.
Oh, okay.
You know, I've thought about this a little bit. This reminded me of it. I don't know if it's an example of it. But there is some truth to the idea of things have gotten so bad around here from a football perspective, from a basketball perspective. And Nebraska has been well removed from what it was in the 90s or what got them there and all this stuff. And they've been removed from that for a really long time, but now it's gotten so bad. And the program's such a shell of itself. Really the athletic department is such a shell of itself from what it was that only now it sort of becomes possible or something that people can hang on to in rebuilding what you had. You got a guy in Trev Alberts in the athletic department who sort of understands that. But I think more importantly, take the coaching search, for example. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks, Josh. People look at the coaching search and how these coaching searches have gone before is you need this and you need this and this is what has to happen on the resume and you have to have a Nebraska tie or you have to understand it and you have to run this certain kind of offense. And I'm not saying that's not out there, but I do think most fans are really, really sensitive to the idea of, you know what? It's just, I love all those things, But listen, we've gone through every resume of every coach for the last however many years, and we've hired different coaches to do different things. We've had different structures and setups with the athletic department, but we have tried everything. We have tried everything. And Nebraska football has just gotten worse and worse and worse. So now it's so bottomed out that people are willing to accept the idea of, hey, you know what, just whatever the person who thinks is in charge is best. Don't you feel that now more than ever?
Yeah, just do something. I don't care what it looks like. Just win.
Yeah. And there's less. I mean, you mentioned pearl clutching. There's just less of that everywhere now. I don't know. 5 years ago, if you put alcohol at a sporting event, or if you even discuss it, it's a really sensitive topic. Right? As late as a couple of years ago, you talk about making a move on a head coach mid-season, and that coach being Scott Frost. That's a really sensitive deal. I think people are less, more willing to accept the idea of, all right, fine. This thing has been so many different things, and it hasn't been, because chances are, over the last 4 or 5 coaching searches, you've been wrong. I thought this guy was going to work. Okay. And you got a chance, and then you hired that guy, and then it didn't work. I thought this guy was going to work. I was wrong again. Like, chances are, you've been wrong. And everybody's been wrong. And it's become more painfully obvious than ever that Nebraska needs to stop talking about what it used to do. Not that you ignore the tradition, and not that you ignore what you are as a football program, or the stature and what you have as a football program, like the best fans and sellouts forever and all the things that you have as an advantage to you. Not that you ignore that stuff, but just that it's not about what those teams did. Like, I mean, here's an example. Scott Frost putting a roster together that had 165 people on it. Simply because that's what they did in the 90s, and it worked. Well, why did they do that? And did the same reasons that they did that in the 90s still exist today? No. No, they don't. So it's been more painfully obvious than ever that, the things that they did, or the results of the things that they did in the 90s, got them to that point, but maybe don't exactly work the same way anymore. And they tried to go back to some of those things, but it's not about the things that they did. It's about the way that they did them and adapting that process and looking forward to the future. And that includes everything. That includes football. That includes building a football program. That includes an athletic department. They're running that as a complete and holistic athletic department in order for it to be healthy. I don't know why that reminded me of that. Maybe it's the coffee.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody, guess what? I just reined Connor in.
Thank you. I didn't talk about Nebraska football in Indiana, though.
You talked about the coaching search, which is a topical thing to discuss.
Yep, we're back on topic.
It's Double Spin Friday, too. It's coming up later. That's a broadcast tease.
You can talk some Waka Flocka Flame.
Yeah, that's tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Limited tickets still available?
Many people are asking me.
Can I get beer at the Waka Flocka?
Hey, you going to Waka Flocka? And I've said, I don't know.
You gave Robin a solid maybe.
Yeah.
Earlier this week.
When I say maybe at first, it's unlikely.
Yeah.
We'll see how I feel tonight. Maybe I'll drink another coffee. Let me tell you about the wonders of coffee. The Amazing Daniel tweets into the show at Happer Show on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed.
New profile pic.
Yeah, really confused me at first. Mm-hmm. I thought a new person was tweeting into the show.
Couldn't be.
I'll be watching the Nebraska game in some sports bar in Pittsburgh there for the Steelers game. Hashtag humble brag. Will I be laughed at for asking them to turn on college football, respected for openly supporting a losing team, or asked to leave?
Poll question?
Yep. I'm going to say laughed at. A would be my final answer. I don't think it will be respected.
Yeah, I'm going to go laughed at as well.
Not asked to leave.
No.
Not asked to leave.
No, if you're drinking, they'll be fine.
I'm going to go with, hey, can you turn on the Nebraska game for me?
It depends on how you ask, too. Like,
they're playing Indiana on the Big Ten Network. You have the channel.
You got that right.
Because this is Big Ten country. You have it. Could you turn it on? Well, sure. I guess. Can I ask why? Well, I'm sad. I'm a sad boy. And I've chosen this as my life's work, to watch Nebraska football every week. Okay.
This is the life I've chosen.
I'm going to laugh at you, but I'm not going to kick you out of the bar. And I will fall short of respecting you. All right. Yeah, we'll take the poll question. You know, if you guys have anything you're thinking, we can feel free to send it to us, and we'll poll our listeners on that. If you want us to do a little
market research
experiment
for you,
yeah. You can do that at Happer Show. Tweeted us there. We'll get that tweeted out. Brian Munson of Husker Online. He'll join the show. We'll talk about Cruton and more next on 1620 The Zone.
America. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.